Readers Entertainment Radio presents Book Lights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Book Lights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. We're back. It's 2019, and here we are. I know last week we were on a special day because New Year's Day was on a Tuesday. So this is actually our first Tuesday of 2019. So welcome back, everyone. Today we have an author from Calgary. He's freezing up in Canada right now. His name is Mark Watson. And if you haven't read Mark yet, I'll go ahead and read his bio for you. And I do have links up to his website and his Facebook page. So you can go ahead and click those anytime to learn more. Mark Watson is an author of genre fiction of all lengths and styles. He began writing at the age of 15, and he continues to be a part-time writing student at Athabasca University. I should have asked how to say that. He has been published on flash fiction sites, and I did link to 101words.org. Flash fiction is like huge for me. I got my start writing short fiction, so I'm sure we'll talk short stories today, as well as the comedy site, thecorrectness.com, and I did put a link there for that. Mark lives in Calgary, Alberta. He's a husband and proud father of two, an avid outdoorsman, martial artist, baseball player, and lover of all Mexican foods. Being from San Diego, I'm like, there you go. That's a staple. he can be found online at markwatson.ca, as well as on Facebook, and again, the links are up there. And Mark, are you there?
I am absolutely here, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And do you want to tell everyone how cold it is in Calgary today? Oh my gosh.
at the moment, it is about 10 below.
So, and you're alive.
Oh yeah, this is nothing. This is easy. When it gets to about minus 40, which by the way is the same whether in Celsius or Fahrenheit, minus 40 is minus 40. That's when you really kind of start to feel alive. But other than that, you just gotta throw on a slightly heavier coat, and then you're okay.
I see.
It is a way of life. It really is. It's a place I'm very happy to be, so I can't complain about it. I did not move to Calgary when I was younger for the balmy weather, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have to be ready for cold if you're going to live up there.
Oh, yeah.
So you just had a new book come out, Catching Hell Part 2, Destination, right? Can you tell our readers who are listening why they should go grab that book this week?
I would love to. I'd love to. Yeah, it was just released in December. It is the sequel and the end of my Catching Hell duology, which was started. The first part was released in spring of last year, and that one's called Catching Hell Journey. So Destination follows the story of two young men by the name of Aryu and Johan, who were separated after their home was destroyed by a robotic army. And Johan travels to a world that is very foreign to him. It is a technological world, a very advanced and futuristic world, whereas Aryu travels with an incredibly large and imposing Scottish phoenix warrior by the name of Nixon, who takes him to the world of the magic and the mystical. And part two picks up with each of them having just scored large victories and trying to reunite to get their revenge on the enemy that they face. It's an amalgamation of science fiction and fantasy, and each of them goes on their own journey to find themselves, and it's the story of how they fight to get back together.
So when a robotic army took over their world, did it split up magic and robots? Are they trying to pull them back together? Is that what's going on?
It was more of each of the cause problems. It does incredibly have to
are
do
you,
with much
you,
magic.
There you are. The robots were cutting you out there for a second. Oh, are you still there? Hello. Mark?
Hello?
There you are.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you. Hello? Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Yeah. It sounded like when you started talking about robots that your voice got all robotic and you were gone. I'm pretty sure they were coming for you.
I will not read anything into that at all. I will just bunker myself down somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if that was part of your book, but wow, they didn't want you exposing those secrets.
That would be some incredible cross promotion, I have to say. If I could make the internet do my bidding to promote me, that would be great.
Right? That's every author's dream, that the internet would finally work with us.
Yes.
Oh. We were talking off the air, though. That's okay. These things happen. It's probably from the cold weather.
Yes.
So we were talking off the air that even though these two books are their own thing, in this world, you have a whole bunch more books planned, right?
I do. That is the master plan. When you mentioned in my bio that I had started writing somewhat seriously at the age of 15, it was a story that takes place in this world. And I ended up writing three of them all by hand, all pen and paper, which I still have.
Wow.
And they're terrible. And they are, there's no paragraphs and the spelling is atrocious. But the story was there, and I kind of mentally lived in that world for a long time. And I reached a point some years ago where I was able to find some personal time at work and sit down years after I had originally started these things and write from there. And that was the start of Catching Hell, which was originally a single book. But as time went on, I realized that it was way too big. And I split it up in
right.
a very logical place and plotted it accordingly. And I think it works a lot better as a duology because each part is very unique in the way that its story is told. So, yeah, I have hopefully, fingers crossed, about 12 stories in total that I'd love to tell in this world, what I call the Ryujin world. And it's kind of consumed me for most of my life, at least from a creative standpoint.
Yeah. Sounds very much Stephen King, you know, The Gunslinger and all those books, which for most of his adult life, all the books have been touching on that.
It draws a lot from that kind of idea. Like any genre fiction author, I'm a Stephen King fan, and although I'm not trying to emulate him, I do respect the way that he kind of connected his world as a way of keeping his stories grounded and keeping this interweaving thread through things. So if you weren't looking for it, it wouldn't matter if you missed it. But for the longtime fans who read everything he was putting out there, it was like little nods and winks, and that's exactly what I'm trying to go for.
Oh, nice. Yeah. My husband, huge Stephen King fan, and I am as well. However, I tried to read The Gunslinger, and I was like, I don't know. It's not working for me. So I didn't read the Dark Tower books, but so many of the books I would pick up, and I'm like, really? This has the Crimson King in it. This is the Dark Tower books. Really? It's bleeding into these. And whereas my husband, who read all the Dark Tower books, was like, oh, my gosh, it's so cool. So
when you have this giant world. How he did it so flawlessly. And you're absolutely right that the Dark Tower books are, for the regular Stephen King fan, they're very difficult to pick up because they're like nothing else that he's really done. You're not going to pick that up and read it and be satisfied if you're a horror reader, if you're a thriller reader. That's not what they are. And that puts a lot of people off. So.
Yeah. I started to get used to it, but I was like, okay, wait a second. But I do, as a writer, I do understand I have multiple series going at the same time. And when I have to switch back to the other series, I kind of have to download my brain because you know, they want to, you don't want to cross the streams, but your brain is like, well, I don't know. What are they doing over there?
Well, that's one of the joys of being a writer. We can cross those worlds in our own mind so long as we put down on paper what we know that the reader would appreciate without having to hide a bunch of things or make them question whether or not they missed something. We have that ability to
right.
We can tie things together, but nobody's ever going to know
right.
about us. It's our little writer secret.
Yes, very, very true. So are you working on another book in that world right now?
I am. I'm working on actually two of them, one of which is a short story that I'm hoping to get out into some anthology somewhere. And the other one is actually a more direct sequel. The current working title is Four Thrones, and it's not super deep into the creative process. I'm only about three chapters in right now. I know the story that I want to follow, but there's definitely some other
mm-hmm.
things that I wanted to focus on first. And the overall process of Catching Hell itself, if we go from the day that I first put fingers to keyboards to the day that it was finally released, it was a process of about 10 years in total. Now, obviously, I wasn't working on it exclusively in that time, but
mm-hmm.
even then, dedicated pure work where I'm sitting down and working with it on at least a weekly basis was almost 5 years. So I was ready to kind of step away from that world for a while. And that was actually where my first book, Death Dresses Poorly, came from. Is it was me cleansing my palate from the Catching Hell world, and then by the miracles of publication and publisher windows, it happened to come out first, even though Catching Hell was still on the way. So that's why my first book was actually the second one that I had actually written.
Right. And the Four Thrones, I don't know if we didn't talk plotting or pantsing, but when I am in the first three chapters of a book, I'm so in love with it that it's like the best thing I've ever written. And by the time you get to the middle, you think, I thought I was good at this. Do you experience that as well? Are you
I
in
do,
the infatuation
I
stage?
I'm not anymore. It's past that point. I am, like, I admit that I'm a pantser through and through. I am definitely
mm-hmm.
not a plotter. Other than the key things of this is where I'm starting and I know where I'm going to end, everything in between,
right.
I haven't got a clue usually. I might have a rough idea of some story, character arcs, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I infatuated with it? I'm looking forward to it. I've actually stepped away from it long enough now that I am looking forward to the opportunity to re-inhabit that world, especially working on the short story that I am right now, which is just about finished. So I'm like, I'm ready to step in there again. We had mentioned off air, I'm working on some other stuff that I'm farther along in that process with. I'd very much like to get those done. I think that those stories have paid their dues when it comes to sitting on my hard drive. So pretty soon they're going to have to start collecting rent. So time to get them out there.
There you go. So are those going to be standalones or are they in that same world?
Standalones is the goal.
If
I was to take a look at my works in progress right now, I would say that two of them are pretty far along and I could pick them up pretty easily and finish them off very shortly. Once I get going, I really get going. I don't have much time to write over the course of the day, but I utilize it very effectively, I think. And then I can, at least the one that I'm thinking of, I would be able to get out pretty quickly and start shopping it around and then possibly write the second one that I've got doing. And then if it doesn't strike me at that moment, I'm very much an of the moment writer, then I can go back to my
mm-hmm.
Ryujin world. I can go back to Four Thrones and I can hopefully do something there instead.
Now with Four Thrones, I can't help but wonder, do you watch Game of Thrones? Are you into that show?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But watch the show, never read the book.
Right.
In any ilk, right? Like I appreciate the lore and the amount of craftsmanship that Martin puts into it.
Mm-hmm.
Lord help me, I could never do that. and I'll let better people, I'll let better people try. So, but yeah, I'm very much into it. That's my cup of tea. Absolutely. 100%.
So as a reader, are you not into epic fantasy? You like different kinds?
I like different kinds. I am into epic fantasy, but I also like to preface that by saying I have never read any Tolkien. So that's kind of where my mind mm-hmm. is at. It was never required reading. Mm-hmm. Either The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings was never required in school for me in any way. And by the time I really started writing, I didn't want to, because although he was kind of the groundbreaker for a lot of things, the tropes had been done. They were already well worn by generations of authors after him. And I wanted right. I wanted to focus on them. I mean, yes, I'm sure Tolkien is going to be revered long after I'm gone, but mm-hmm. that wasn't how I kind of wanted to do things. I've mostly focused when it comes to epic. It's usually been Terry Brooks. It's been Stephen King, Dark Tower. The fourth book in that series, Wizard and Glass, is one of my top three books of all time. I think it's an absolutely wow. amazing little read, just on its own, which is very strange for a seven. I guess now it's kind of 7.5. He threw another book in there years later. But for a seven book series, for like the fourth one to stand out as much as it does to me is actually quite astonishing, and it's something I'd love to emulate. But yeah, it's mostly more recent epic fantasy that I'm following along with.
Right. Do you read Neil Gaiman?
I do. I love Neil Gaiman, and my first book was very heavily inspired by his style of dark comedy, urban fantasy, very modern fantasy in the way that it's told, while also sprinkling in a bit of, in his case, very British sensibilities and creativity. I try to add a Canadian bent to that, but even then I based the book
oh,
in
cute.
The States. So I don't know if I succeeded or not, but he was very much an influence in all his genres of storytelling, from the shows that he works on to the books that he writes to the comics that he was involved with back in like the 90s and the 80s. I have always been a huge Gaiman fan.
Yeah, Good Omens is one of my top 10 reads ever. It was so fabulous. I can't wait
it
for
is
the
amazing.
Movie. Oh, my God.
It's going to be great. Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it will be. I can't wait. I thought that when they put up the first picture of the casting, I thought, oh, my gosh, it's perfect. So I hope
yeah,
it will live up to the hype in my head.
Once they hit that casting, then I didn't think that they could do anything wrong. I'm like, nope, okay, no, you're good. These guys will carry it, and I love them both, and this is going to be great.
Yeah, I think so. I'm excited. And I haven't watched the American Gods show yet, but I love that book, so I hope the show is good. I've heard mixed reviews, so I haven't seen it yet.
It's very much, I loved it. I wish that they would have been able to release the second season. I understand the problems that they had. I wish they could have done it sooner, so that way it stayed fresher in the watcher's mind.
People's heads, right.
Yeah, I'll still be there watching it. I just suspect I'm probably going to need a little bit of a refresher. And I, as someone who's read American Gods a few times, I've only watched that first season once, and I'm going to have to go back. I know I am. It's going to reference things that I've forgotten about because it's been 2 years, and that's a lifetime in the current television world.
Right. Yeah. I saw the second season is supposed to start in March. So I thought, well, that'll give me a reason to go watch the whole thing. So at least that's
yeah,
my plan.
Absolutely. It will. Absolutely. It will.
So can you share with the people listening? I always ask people about their writing journey. How did you decide that you wanted, I mean, at 15, you started dabbling in writing. Were there books that inspired you? What made you start writing?
Well, it was not so much books. I am more a product of the kind of pop culture at the time, especially when I was in high school. It was the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, and I was very much enraptured with comics and a lot of the anime that was coming out of Japan and the stories that they were telling, mm-hmm. I found that they were so much farther ahead when it came to those kinds of creative stories than where we were kind of at the time. North American fantasy, although there's definitely some gems in there from that time, it wasn't pushing the same kind of boundaries, and it wasn't testing me as a reader or as a viewer as much as what I was seeing coming out of Japan. So a lot of it came from that. I was always a big fan of like the lore of video games, because video games can have huge writing teams. And especially then, when you were at the end of the Super Nintendo era going into the PlayStation, we were still dealing with some fairly rudimentary games. But there were some stories, like a lot of the role-playing games that were coming out at the time, again, which borrowed heavily on a lot of Japanese storytelling ideas and tropes. They were a big inspiration for me as well. I was an avid reader, I admit, but I don't think that's where I was pulling most of my inspirations from. I was pulling it more so from what I was consuming as a viewer.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And I had a lot of time to myself where it was just over a 1 mile walk from my school to my house. And sometimes I'd be with friends, but other times I'm on my own and I'm just listening, and I'm just very susceptible to the music and the ideas that it conjured in my head and the things that I wanted to express in my own kind of like mental fantasy world. It was just a lot of time on my own, coming from school, getting ready for whatever I was doing after school. And that's where a lot of my ideas came from. That's where this Ryujin world that I had conjured up came from. And it obviously was something that was important to me because it's stuck around for most of my life. So yeah. It was just a very creative time for me. And when I had a moment, I just found the right pen and the right piece of paper, and I just started writing, and I loved what I was putting down. As I said, going back to it and taking a look at it through a different lens, it's kind of terrible, but it's terrible in like a really cute way, so that's okay.
You can still embrace 15-year-old you.
I can. I was like, bless you, young Mark. You are the writing hero I deserve. You are fearless. You are not thinking about readership numbers and Amazon algorithms.
And silly
you are
paragraphs.
Just spewing. You don't need paragraphs. You can fit 30 words on a single line, you small writer. You just do you. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, you go. You go, young Mark.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so
he's my hero.
So as you got older and decided to get more serious about the writing, did you find writers groups? Did you go to conferences? How did you hone your skill and figure out, hey, I need paragraphs and chapters?
Well, I moved out. I'm a product of Southern Ontario, born just outside of Toronto, and I moved out and I moved to Calgary at the age of 18. So there was a long period of time where I was doing things that had nothing to do with writing, and I barely really created any that is of any kind of note. So I came back to it about the time that I started really focusing on writing Catching Hell, and I did not quote unquote, put myself out there. I remember it very clearly. It was February 29th of 2016. And that was a day I was like, well, it's kind of a unique day. And I have this book that I've written. I was pretty much mentally done with Catching Hell at the time. And I'm like, there's no reason I can't put this out there. I'm not losing anything by putting this out there and having people take a look at it and say whether they wanted it or not. So to more focus on your question, on that same day, that's like, if you were to take a look at my Twitter account, you'd see that it was made the very next day. My Facebook writing account, it's the same thing. And I started looking for writing groups. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get on with one for about a year because I still have two young kids, and I'm a pretty busy dad and a busy husband, and I didn't have a lot of time. I love coaching. I love sports. I love being with my kids during those activities, whether I'm watching or whether I'm on the bench with them. And I did eventually find one. It goes by the name of the Imaginative Fiction Writers Association, or IFWA. It's based here in Calgary. They meet once a month, and it has some incredibly distinguished alumni. And everyone from fresh faces who've never had anything published, right up to names like Robert J. Sawyer, who's probably the most prestigious science fiction writer this country has ever produced. And you just get such a gamut of ideas, and a lot of it is sometimes over my head, but just being there surrounded by them, I can always ask them afterwards at the bar, what did you mean by this? And I have the ability to pick their brains. As for conferences, we have another one up here called When Words Collide. And I first attended that in 2016 as well. And that time I was fresh faced. I had a tiny bit of success to my name, but I was attending different panels and different talks and seminars, and I was doing readings and just embracing everything I could. And it really worked out. I made a lot of great connections and great networking. I had my very first pitch. That was the very first thing I did at this writing conference. Is I had a pitch scheduled, and I went to it.
No.
And I'm humbled to say I nailed it. And it was the start of a really good kind of experience for that whole weekend. It was just like, here is Mark. Mark has arrived. And at that point, I didn't have anything out yet, but it felt like more like it was just a matter of time, as opposed to, I don't belong with these people. So that was,
right.
That was good, because it can be incredibly intimidating. So
yes.
No,
I felt better.
And I've been to a few of them since then. And so what's that? That's three When Words Collide ago. And each experience has been a different one since then. And I'm thankful for each of them, and all of them have been rewarding. Never a bad experience. It's anybody in Western Canada, Southern Alberta, even right here in Calgary, if you didn't know about it, it is absolutely worth checking out. They run a tight ship, which is really good for somebody who walks in there and doesn't know what they're doing.
Right. I've heard from other authors about When Words Collide, about that it's a good conference, and that's from people down here in the States. So you guys are doing a good thing up there for writers.
It is to be commended for how well it's organized, because it could very easily just be either a cash grab or nowhere near as organized as it is, and people would still pay the money to go to it. So we're very fortunate to have it as good as it is, a credit to its organizer and its staff for sure.
Yeah. Are you involved with that at all, or do you just attend?
My involvement kind of slowly grows over the years. For the first 2 years, I wasn't. That was mostly just me going and pitching and checking things out and meeting people. This last year, I was lucky enough to be involved with a panel. I kind of stumbled onto it like late. There was like a call out 24 hours ahead of time, like, hey, well, I need somebody else for this podcast that I'm doing. I'm like, I'm there. I'm going to be here. I'm not doing anything else. Come on, let's do it. And I already I had two books released at that time, so I was able to participate in the author's table on Saturday night. So I was more out there. I was able to actually move some books and talk to some people who had read my work and have some really great conversations and build some great relationships. So this year, knowing who I know through different groups, I know the person in charge of kind of organizing anything having to do with science fiction and fantasy. One of the themes, or the main theme this year, is humor. So I have a kind of a urban fantasy comedy book that was my first release. So I kind of fit right into that. And I'm hoping to be more of a face in front of the crowd instead of a face in the crowd this year.
Nice. Well, hearing from readers who read your work is like the best thing in the whole world. So I always encourage everybody, if you read a book that you love that leaves you with a smile at the end, contact the author, tweet, go on Facebook. How do you like to connect with your readers?
The easiest way for me has always been Twitter, because
okay.
Although it's a bit of a social media demon sometimes, it's fast, it's easy. I very much have it tailored. The little community that I've grown on there is writers, and the writers who are very engaged, at least all the ones that I've found are. I like writers that are engaged. If you're a writer and you're on there, but I see that you have 61,000 tweets, but you've only been on the platform for a few years, well, that tells me you're probably doing a lot of retweeting, which is good and it's important, but I want to try and build that kind of community where somebody can message me and talk to me directly or respond to one of my tweets and be engaged with me, the person, as opposed to just getting lost in a sea of other retweets and things like that. So I am very easy to reach there. Same with Facebook.
And I did put your Twitter handle on there, so everyone should follow at Wright Watson over on Twitter. And we're totally running out of time, and I don't want her to hang up on you. So thank you so much for being here. And everyone, go out and grab Catching Hell Part 2 Destination. Thanks for being on today, Mark.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I had a great time.
Talk to you later. Stay warm.
All right, talk to you later. I will certainly try.
Okay.
Slightly heavier.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us on Book Lights. Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.